The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Running down on the clock, first off, take care of the ball. Then make that decision down there. Have one team running, have one team throwing. Just make a better decision. Jerry ran a good route. Either put it over the top of him or chuck it in the dirt and go to see the next play. Don't go half and half there.
He goes up and down. Obviously, we'd like to not end those drives there to go win the game. End those drives there to go win the game with interceptions, but that's why we practice. You know, we obviously need a lot of work, and we'll continue to get a lot of work.
Yeah, that was a little miscommunication. No, we'll work on that. I'm glad we're making that mistake now and not, you know, in the game. So, you know, we'll get together. You know, we'll watch the tape later today. Defense, they came with the pressure. You know, we had to get the ball out. I think just weren't on the same page. So something that we can fix easily, and it's nothing that we're going to panic about.
And that is the story of the day. Tyler, day 7 is a wrap. Day off tomorrow. Two interceptions on probably the two most meaningful drives so far of training camp. Moments that you really could have said, okay, here is a true moment of separation.
Yep.
And a, hey, we got the ball. There's 2 minutes and 10 seconds. There's the 2 minute warning. There's two timeouts. We're down by 7. Got to score a touchdown here, folks. And instead, you got two interceptions by both your quarterbacks. Your thoughts on that and practice in general?
Well, D-Mac, I was feeling better about practice today. I was watching practice feeling a little bit more hopeful. There was some enthusiasm out there. I could feel a little bit of energy. Both quarterbacks were doing some cool things. You know, throughout practice, Courtland Sutton was just shining. You could tell that today was the day that Courtland Sutton was going to break loose, and boy, did he ever. Both quarterbacks started out practice with a 16-yard pass. Drew Locke had a 16-yard out to Sutton, and 16 is give or take. I'm watching from the hill, but and then Teddy Bridgewater had a 16-yard deep cross to Jerry Jeudy. Okay, boom, let's go. We're starting. We're out to a hot start. We get to the end of practice, and Drew Locke gets to move the ball, period. They started on, what would you say, about the 20?
Their 25.
Own 25? 25,
yeah.
Okay, their own 25.
Yep.
They've got to go the entire length of the field. And the way move the ball works is that you will get whatever you earn. So if it's first and 10 and you gain 4 yards, it's going to be second and 6. Mm-hmm. And if you don't pick up a first down, the drive is over. You don't get to keep going. You have to earn it. Drew Locke comes out and he leads a beautiful drive all the way down the field. It's a 7-play, maybe more than that, probably a 10-play type of drive, and Drew Locke gets 6 or 7 passes throughout it, just completing passes, looking good, gets down there, just a bonehead of all bonehead throws to Justin Simmons. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I couldn't have felt any better about practice. You finish it off like that. So Teddy Bridgewater steps up to the plate, and I'm thinking, all right, well, this is the moment. I mean, all you have to do is not do anything dumb, and right. You win. Teddy, it's your day if you just don't do anything dumb. Not only is he not doing anything dumb for the first couple plays, but he comes out and he's leading another beautiful move the ball drive. Both guys take it the length of the field, except for now Teddy does the exact same thing as Drew Locke, and the last play of practice for him, he throws an interception. Now, there was a difference between the interceptions. I'm not going to go into it because it doesn't really matter. Bottom line is both guys threw an interception to finish off practice. It was close enough that today I'm giving the day to Drew Locke, and it comes down to this. He did not win the day via stats. The stats say that he went of 11 of 17 in the team periods. These are my stats, not exact math. Teddy Bridgewater went 16 of 18 in the team periods. Both guys had an interception. Teddy Bridgewater actually had more deep balls. But it's as simple as this. If they're both going to make bonehead plays and they're both going to do dumb things to finish off the game, well, I'm not going with Teddy Bridgewater for that. Teddy Bridgewater is here to be your safe option. Teddy Bridgewater is here to be the guy that does not make that mistake, yet they both make the same mistake. So if all things are equal and they're both making bonehead decisions, I'm giving the day to Drew Locke, and I'd rather roll with Drew Locke in a situation like that.
Okay. Well, I'm a little surprised. I had the day going slightly to Teddy Bridgewater because the interception wasn't as bad as Drew Locke's. Drew's is really bad.
It was.
Drew's is really bad. I mean, it's you got the ball on basically the 9-yard line. It was 3rd and 4, meaning you could have picked up a first down, and you know you did not have any timeouts left, but you could have you had time to get a first down, or you could have thrown the ball away.
It didn't matter. I mean, if you don't have a timeout, it was supposed to be a throwing away ball anyways. Throw it into the stands. Clock stops.
He was trying to throw it into the dirt. That's why it looked so terrible, because he actually just didn't. He hesitated.
Well, that, you know what, that makes it so extra frustrating, because not only was it a bad decision, but, well, I guess it was technically he was trying to make the right decision, but they actually took time out of practice yesterday to practice throwing the ball away. As much as we joked about it,
we were actually trying to throw incompletions.
Well,
they were intentionally trying to throw incompletions yesterday. And so, Drew Lock, here's your moment. Intentionally throw it into the stands.
Right.
And he can't put the ball in the dirt. Just
couldn't put the ball in the dirt. He was frustrated by it. I mean, it's funny because let's hear from Drew Lock, right? Let's hear what he had to say. So, let's see. Well, I asked him.
When 6 off the most, when you
so it's hard to hear, but what I asked him is, you know, what ticked you off the most, you know, about what happened there?
Deep down in your gut, you feel like someone got the better of you. And as a quarterback, it's a little less about myself. I feel like they got the better of the 10 guys I'm playing with. That's what really kind of pisses
wow.
me off, quite frankly.
Whoa, wow, wow. Hold on. Wrong answer. It's a little bit of less about myself, and it's more about the 10 guys that they got better of.
Well,
we
got beat as a team. I think that's what he was trying to say.
Hold on, play it again. He says it's a little bit less about myself. They got the better of the 10 guys.
You feel like someone got the better of you. And as a quarterback, it's a little less about myself. I feel like they got the better of the 10 guys I'm playing with.
He said the opposite.
Wow.
He said they got the better of the other 10 guys, not myself. You threw the interception, buddy.
I think he was, boy, I hate to try to make excuses for Drew, but I really do think he was trying to say, it's not just me. It's not just like I'm not,
no, but it was.
I feel bad for our entire unit. I just don't feel sorry for myself. I think that's what he's trying to say.
Well, I guess if we're going to go with what he was trying to say, I don't know. I'm just going with what he said. What he said was that the other 10 guys let him down. That's what he said.
Oh, I don't think that's what
Play
he
it is. Again. That's verbatim what he said.
Yeah, but
I'm not making anything up. That's
I don't
verbatim
think that's
what he
I certainly don't think that's what he was trying to say. I mean I'm happy to play it again.
Deep down in your gut, you feel like someone got the better of you, and as a quarterback, it's a little less about myself. I feel like they got the better of the 10 guys I'm playing with.
They got the better of the 10 guys I'm playing with.
Oh, man.
They got the better of the 10 guys I'm playing with.
You're going to kill him on that?
I'm not going to kill him on it. It's just what he said. It's about you in that moment. You're the one that threw the interception, and Teddy Bridgewater's got he should be saying the exact same thing. It's on me. I threw the interception.
I asked him then about, you know, having to live with this one.
Is that tough? Because you don't have a practice tomorrow. You don't have another period. You got to sit with that sucker for a couple days now, all right? That's a great point. It does stink. I'm going to go watch it. But it's more about those dudes get to go in the locker room. They give you a little slap. And it's like, all right, we got to wait 2 days until we can come out here and give you one. But they get the better of you, and that's that. But you got to take it like a man and go in there with a smile on your face and be like, hey, good play.
Pretty happy-go-lucky. It's a pretty happy-go-lucky vibe right there.
All right. I think it's like a very bittersweet, like he knows he blew it.
I know.
He knows I guess he was smiling as he was talking, but it's one of those smiles like, I get it.
I didn't feel like that was like the end of the world to him by any means.
Oh, man. Okay. What would you have rather have heard then?
Oh, I would rather it just be a little bit more somber. I mean, I don't need to break down the presser. That's not what's important to me. I do think that in that situation, I would have been much more somber. I would not have been happy-go-lucky. I wouldn't have been intentionally cracking jokes with people. I would have been way down in the tanks. Like, that was my last throw of practice. I don't get another crack at this for 2 days. So I would be down with the takes. I don't really care about the presser, though. I'm not going to break it down. Like I said, I'm giving the day to Drew Lock.
Okay.
Because Teddy Bridgewater made a very similar mistake in nature through an interception on the last play of practice. And guess what? If you do that, I would rather go with the young gun than go with the veteran, because the veteran's supposed to be there to not make those mistakes. The presser's the presser. I think that he sounds a little bit happy-go-lucky, but that's not really what I'm evaluating him on. I'm evaluating him on the practice.
Yeah, here's our guy, Cliss, sending us you see this from him. Cliss! He was trying to say he let down the other 10 guys, but he said it wrong. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from.
I mean,
from.
He said what he said. I don't know.
Right. He kind of just botched it. What he was. You could tell by his demeanor, his body language, his frustration that he knows he blew it today in a critical moment. You're still giving the day to him, which is nice. But I'm telling you, he's going to get destroyed for that. He knows he is. He knows he's about to go in, watch film, get crushed about it. And
I agree. Doesn't that make the happy-go-lucky vibe a little bit weird? You just had the last play. Hey, you've had seven practices. Two of the seven practices, you've had your last play be an interception. When you're meeting the press after that, I don't think I'd be joking around.
You make a good point, Tyler. I can't argue with you on. You know, Bowles was ticked off. Bowles was really upset. He was upset to the degree where he had to have his other offensive lineman, Elephants, sort of try to calm him down a little bit. He was just like, he wasn't telling his teammates to F off necessarily, but he was defending his right in front of his teammates to be upset with their performance as a unit. I mean, to the degree like, hey, man, it doesn't matter. Like, kind of like, hey, we did all right getting the ball down the field. And he was like, you know, well, you know, it felt like what he was saying was words along the, like, well, it doesn't matter. We threw an interception.
Yeah.
Like, how can we be, I'm upset.
I don't really care about.
Oh, all right.
Sorry. I really don't care about the presser. It doesn't matter.
Oh, I'm talking about other stuff. I'm not talking about the presser.
I think you're probably right. At the end of the day, he was not intentionally trying to throw it on the other 10 guys. I think that he was probably trying to put it on his shoulders. I guess I just, the vibe at the end of practice to me, like, that's a big deal, man.
Well, let me give you
the last play. That's it. You don't get another one.
Let me give you some. Now that you got me thinking about it. So Bowles was upset, and he stayed upset. He was upset, period. Like, Peter King was here today. You know, Peter King shows up to every training camp for a little bit and talks to everybody. He talked to Bowles. Bowles was upset talking to Peter King.
Yeah.
Bowles was upset. And I'm telling you, when Garrett Bowles is upset with something, he's an intimidating-looking guy. And you know how they do that, like, goofy question, you know, on the camera?
Right, where they just put up, like, a sign. They don't have anybody asking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that, by the way.
I do, too.
I think that's fun.
I do, too. And hey, the practice is over, so I guess it's all right. You can't dwell on things too much. But I did find it interesting today that's the way practice ended. And then just, you know, relatively shortly thereafter, there's Drew over there kind of goofing around a little bit with his teammates. And I'm not trying to crush him on that necessarily. But to your point about, like, how upset are you about this? How much does it really bother you?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. I mean, I saw moments where he got, I guess, over it to the degree that he could goof around with his teammates and have some fun.
You know what? That's okay. I'm fine with that. You got to be able to flush bad plays in the NFL, especially when you're in the middle of practice. You can't dwell on things. You got to be able to move forward, and you got to be a leader, especially as a quarterback. Like Rex Grossman, he had a very unique characteristic in which he had the capability of throwing like two interceptions and then coming in that huddle and making you feel like that meant nothing. He, like, that's water under the bridge, man. I mean, watch what's about to happen next, right? Mm-hmm. So you got to have that in you as a quarterback. I got no issues with that, especially when you're leading the team. It's just a little bit different when you're talking to the media, like, that close, that boom, boom. Like, that's a game. We're like, what if that was a game, right? And if it was a game, would that be the vibe you would have after the game?
You're making some great points. I mean, I can just go back to the other leaders and quarterbacks I've been around, like Jim Kelly or Peyton Manning or those type of dudes. And
what do you think Peyton would be acting
he'd
like?
He'd be pissed.
Right.
I mean, he would be ticked off. He would know he had to talk to the media. He'd be short. He'd be to the point. He wouldn't be joking around. And I
can
say,
no laughing.
I think he would be upset with himself. I think he would have come out and said, that was a stupid thing for me to do. I've got to be better than that.
Yes.
I think he would have been pretty upset with himself.
Okay, we're on the same page.
And I say that because I've seen Peyton have a bad practice or a bad moment or the offense has struggled. And he doesn't really. He wouldn't, like, necessarily isolate guys. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater did say this.
Yeah, that was a little miscommunication. No, we'll work on that. I'm glad we're making that mistake now and not, you know, in the game. So,
I mean, is he throwing the receiver under the bus right there?
Yeah, see, I don't love that either. Like, if I'm going to be fair, I don't like Drew's response. I don't like Teddy's response either. I believe Teddy.
I know watching that play
that was miscommunication. Whereas Drew's, he threw the ball into the middle of nowhere, was trying to throw it away, but he threw it to Justin Simmons instead. This was a miscommunication situation. But no, when practice ends, that's probably not the time to say that. I mean, that's a guy that knows he's in the middle of the battle, and he doesn't want the public to think that that was on me. But is that great leadership either? Probably not. Great leadership would just be stepping up to the plate and say, hey, can't do that. Can't have that moment when it's all said and done. Even if it was miscommunication, you say that's on me as a quarterback to make sure that he's on the same page with me.
I'll tell you this. Fangio was upset. I mean, I get it. He's a defensive coach. But, like, unfortunately, today was more about the offense screwing up Tyler than the defense making great plays. It was more about that. It's both, depending on your perspective. Like, hey, great play, you know, bad play. But today it felt much, much, much more like frustration that the offense screwed up than the defense.
What a bummer that is. What a shame, because that's not the way the practice was. Practice did not feel that way about offense. When you're watching it until the final play for both quarterbacks, I didn't feel that way. I don't think you felt that way. I don't think anybody in the stands was feeling like, boy, this offense looks disappointing. Both quarterbacks looked exciting. Both quarterbacks were leading great move the ball periods. Yeah. Both quarterbacks had practices in which they had big chunk yardage. I felt good about practice. I really did. I felt enthusiastic. I felt as optimistic as I have all camp until that last play. The last play matters.
Yeah, by the way, the defense on the move the ball period, we made notes of it. It was the ones. Drew was with the ones to start. The defense was like the one and a halves. It was a weird mixture of guys. It wasn't clearly the number one offense. There were some guys from the number one offense, but there was a mixture of different people in there.
Oh, so interesting. I thought it was good on good.
Not completely. It was weird. It was
so
weird
that must
enough.
Have been like the wide receivers, the personnel groupings. Is that what you're talking about?
Kind of. It was just a mix of, oh, Justin Strnad's in there. And now Von Miller had a vet day today.
Did Grant Glasgow have a vet day today?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Greg,
okay.
And it was Muti. That's how you're supposed to say it. That's what the pronunciation guy says. Muti was the right guard. And it was... Was it Massey? Was Massey? Hold on.
No, it was Calvin Anderson.
It was Calvin Anderson, wasn't it?
Yep. That's why when you said yesterday you thought that battle was over, it surprised me.
You're right.
No, it was back to Calvin Anderson today.
Correct. So that's not over. Boy, I was standing next to Bobby Massey today. Holy cow.
God. Big boy.
Oh, my God. I mean, they're all big. But it's, you know, it's when guys, like, stand out to you, it's like, oh, my goodness gracious. What do they list him at? The dude that's 6'10 is funny just a little. I mean, he's really not getting any kind of significant reps, but what do we got Massey listed at? 6'6". Okay. He's all that. No doubt about it. Here is Vic. I was asking him what was ticking him off.
What frustrates you the most about how those two guys?
Well, from the offense's point of view, we didn't score. You know, you get the ball back with 2:10, you're down 7. You got 2 timeouts and a 2-minute warning. That's a doable situation. We got to go do it.
Yeah. So unfortunately, that's the way practice ended.
Yeah.
That right there, that is what they're left with going into this off day. That is how you end up losing games, Tyler, that you could win, or you that's how you lose games right there.
So I'm catching a lot of heat on the text line right now for analyzing the presser, and I get that. I do. But what's gnawing at me a little bit is the leadership on the team. And where is the leadership? Because I don't care what anybody says. That is a moment that you should be visibly frustrated by. And if you had to go back on the field, you should not show your frustration to your teammates. No, you should not. You should go back out on the field, and that's how Drew Locke should act amongst his teammates, because they need to know that you still feel good. But when you get to the presser, when the game ends, and that's how the game ends, to me, that's a sign of immaturity that is just a little bit disturbing to me. Like, come on, man. There's a lot on the line right now. And do you recognize the gravity of what that situation was supposed to be replicating?
You know what, though? It's just not like who he is, though. It's just like not who he is as a person. You're kind of asking him to be somebody who he's not.
Well, I'm asking him to be an alpha of a football team. Yeah. That's what I'm asking him to be. That's what your quarterback has to be, the alpha of your entire team.
Well, that's, you know, Teddy leads in a kind of a different way. He definitely is a leader. He's definitely like an in-charge type of guy. But it's in a more, I got to admit, it's kind of like a Trevor Siemian sort of way. You know, it's not like the, like, I'm going to grab you by the scruff of your neck and here we go, and right. Or, you know, LFG or anything like that. It's more like, all right, like he's into bouncing. Like they, I don't know if you've ever noticed, like if they have a, with the fatigue police.
All right. Oh, oh.
The fatigue police are out there, but it's, he has him jump up and he's like, let's go, like bounce. Like we bounce up and down a little just to like to get the blood going.
You know what? I did see the offensive line jumping up and down in the middle of a huddle one time.
That's because Teddy does that.
I did not realize that was coming from Teddy.
That comes from Teddy.
That would drive me nuts as an offensive lineman. Like dude, I'm not here to start a mosh pit in the middle of the huddle. That's not what I need right now. No, sir.
And then he does repeat the play call like over and over and over again.
I love that. All great quarterbacks do.
Yeah.
All, especially the snap count. The great quarterbacks, when it's on two or if you got a hard count, before they start the play, they go, hey, guys, we got it on two. This is on two. You guys got it? We're on two.
Yeah.
All right, we got eye right, blah, 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 blah. And then they go, on two. You guys got it on two. Ready? Right.
That's Teddy.
That's what the good quarterbacks do.
And he, I don't know if this was his...
The day seven, man.
Oh, yeah. All right. All right. You did this. He starts the press conferences with an opening statement, Tyler. Hey, guys, we always got to keep, like, the opening statement of Teddy Bridgewater.
Let's hear it. We
have it right here. I was just making sure. But here's his... Tyler, it's fun. He walks right up and...
Day seven, man. It's getting pretty competitive out there. Loving the energy. Guys flying around. Obviously, there's some things they want to clean up. Moving forward, but guys have been grinding, competing, working hard, and that's what you love to see. We get a day off tomorrow. Guys get their legs underneath them, and then we come back and we hit the ground and we get ready for Minnesota.
That is not an answer to a question.
That is weird.
That is not an answer to a question. That's just Teddy just stepping up in a dress, making a statement.
I think I like it. It's just so weird and unusual. Like I've never seen any player do that. I think I like it. You're taking control of the presser, like right out the gates. Like I'm in charge of this presser, not you.
Yeah.
But that is bizarre. I've never seen that.
Weird, huh?
Peyton Manning didn't do that, did he?
No, he did not. No, he did not. Bill Musgrave did do that. Our old offensive coordinator and the million other jobs Bill Musgrave had. He did used to do that. Jack Del Rio used to do that. How about that? That's right. Jack Del Rio used to do that a little bit. Teddy does it.
Interesting.
I've never seen a player do it.
No, me either.
Usually it's up, okay, hey, how you guys doing? What's going on? And usually they can anticipate what the first question's going to be.
Right.
So it's kind of like, hey, what's going on? Uh-huh, mm-hmm, yep, okay. Like, I knew you were going to ask that. I've been thinking about it. Here's what I got to say. But Teddy, I wouldn't even, cue the music again. I love the Hail to the Chief music. So here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Teddy Bridgewater.
Day seven, man, getting pretty competitive out there. Loving the energy, guys flying around. Obviously, there's some things they want to clean up moving forward. But guys have been grinding, competing, working hard, and that's what you love to see. We get a day off tomorrow. Guys get their legs underneath them, and then we come back, and we hit the ground, and we get ready for Minnesota.
There you go. No questions. See you later.
I could see that dude being in control of the huddle. I could. I mean, you walk in, I'm going to give you a little pre-snap conversation here before I give you the actual play call, get the play call out, you know, maybe have a little post-snap speech for you.
But he does that, but he's not, I don't know, he's not like a rah-rah sort of, he's kind of like that. I don't know, man. I think you're making some fair criticisms. I think Drew was disappointed. But I understand where you're coming from with his tone. He was mad at himself, and he was smiling kind of as he does it, but he was just trying to make the best of a bad situation. Okay, Teddy's given addresses. Vic was pissed. Vic, you could just tell. You could just tell flat
out.
Was
the head coach pissed, or was the defensive coordinator pissed? Which one was it?
The head coach was pissed.
Yeah, okay.
I think so. I think he really was ticked off because he realizes that sucked right there.
Yeah, he's tired of that.
Yeah. This wasn't Patrick Surtain making a diving one-handed rip the ball away from Courtland Sutton sort of moment, right? It wasn't like that. This wasn't, this was bad. Bad. This is how we lose games, bad. As boring and as whatever as the practice was yesterday, there were no bad moments like we had today. I mean, it might have been boring. It might have been uninspiring. They might have, you know, but there weren't, like, bad moments. In fact, kind of the opposite. They had some really good moments, like running the ball. And today, when they were more focused on winning the game and coming back, they failed. Both of the quarterbacks failed. And now they have a day off to think about it. All right, I hate to do this in the water cooler, but I have to. Freaking Zach Bye has got the best of me.
Oh.
And there's an unfortunate story to go along with it. Do you see the little scab on my nose?
I already know. Oh, well, I don't know what that scab came from.
Okay, but whatever you know, I'm going to make you laugh.
You guys had a real dust up.
There's a reason I'm not only did I lose, but I got physically hurt. So details of the water cooler coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
All right, I gotta start on a personal note here. All right, I'm just getting something real quick. So Zach, you know, I had a mug that my wife gave me for my birthday. Broncos mug, just a real sturdy mug. And
right.
Because the coffee mugs we have here are horrific.
Nice mug.
Nobody does any dishes here. They're terrible. So I was like, okay, fine, my wife was sick of me bringing in my own mug from home, taking it back and forth. So she gave me a nice, solid Broncos mug.
Right.
For me just to basically leave here so I have my own mug here.
Yes. Okay. It was a nice mug, yes. So became a deal. Zach found it before.
Well, I wasn't trying to hide it. I literally keep two things here at the radio station, Tyler, because when they do get rid of me, I want to make the exit plan quick.
Yes.
I've learned that.
Don't need a box. Just need to grab two things.
Two things. And I didn't even want to have two things.
Yeah.
But I got my mug and my headphones.
Okay.
And that's it. That's at the radio station.
Smart.
Well, I've been fired 9 times. So
quick exit.
I've learned how to do this over the years.
Yeah.
Zach commandeered my mug that was a gift from my wife and, like, claimed it for himself and all sorts of stuff. Well, I got it back. And the way that I've had some fun revenge of late is I have just been hiding it here at a various place of the station.
Yes.
But I became more bold because I realized the closer that I hide it to Zach, the more fun it is when I actually grab it the next day.
It was hiding in plain sight the whole time.
Right. So I've hit it, like, we got a backdrop that's like 3 feet from
a good one. Who would think to go behind the backdrop?
Right.
I mean, you could reach out and touch it.
That's right. And then I put it in my, you know, we got these little fuzzy things on the microphones. We have a little box. You know, I stuck it in the box there one time.
Yeah.
The other day, I put it right next to Brandon Stokely. I just put a little, you know, thing on top of it, you know. So it was right next to Stokely the entire time.
Yes.
And then last night, I kept looking, like, how can I amp this up? Like, how close can I really get it to Zach without him knowing where it is, without him finding it? And what I found is a little Velcro, like, it's just like this little Velcro thing on an iPhone cord. And we have wires underneath the desk. So, I'm sitting right here.
So I already know why you messed up.
Like, Zach, because he's a long, big, tall guy. If he just reached under, he could touch it.
No, see, that's not, I don't know what happened, but I know what happened already.
All right, well, let me go through this really quick. I'm saying, let's go for it, you know, to myself. Like, let's go for it. Let's really, I mean, this is the closest I could get it to him if he didn't find
it. I respect that.
Okay, yeah, I mean, because I looked at all sorts, but it was the closest it could possibly get to him. And I as I'm cinching it up with the duct tape, the thing falls right on my face. So this cut on my nose, that's from the mug.
No
falling,
way.
I swear to God.
Unbelievable.
I'm bleeding.
That should have been the sign.
I mean,
that should have been all you needed right there. You
right.
got bled by the mug in that stupid hiding spot.
And
it's a dumb idea.
I'm not going to lie. I had a hard time sleeping last night. You know what I was really worried about? I was worried that hanging it off the wires was going to disconnect the radio station somehow. I swear to God. I came this close from calling Millennial Ben at 5 a.m. I could not sleep. I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning thinking about this, and I came this close to calling Millennial Ben just saying, hey, dude, you know what? Just get that. I was really worried about the weight of the mug. It already bruised me up massively.
Because you're a caring guy. You were concerned about the station. I like
it. Well, I'm not trying to get fired. I mean, I know it's going to happen at some point, but I'm not trying to actively do it.
Sure, sure.
And disconnecting the microphones or screwing up the audio for the radio station felt to me something that was fireable for our stupid little pranks. But I come in here, and I guess Zach did find it. Now, Zach had a Roby day today, or he left early or something. But, Richie, I'll go to you. He wasn't here.
He was here when I walked in.
He wasn't here at 3 o'clock when the shows were over.
Yeah,
but
he was.
No, he was
he
not.
He was not.
What?
No, he left.
He had a dentist appointment, so he...
Yeah.
I was talking... Oh.
The Stokely exit.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, maybe he was on the back nine with Stoke. No, Stoke was here to the end today.
Wow, Stokely had to close that thing out?
Well, they got Marilat. They were like, let's go to the...
Yeah, because Lord knows Stokely ain't closing that out by himself.
Let's go to the righty up north, and he came in and... Oh, can you imagine?
Can you imagine the panic level?
Oh, my Lord.
Oh.
Please. So how did he find it, Richie? What's the story?
So, I mean, here's my guess. Before you tell me, here's my guess. You were so not. Look, I actually respect what you were doing. The more brazen you could get about it, the more proud
this
you could
feel. This was going to be the ultimate because there could not have been a spot closer. I was going to come in, scoot under the desk when he was live on the air, and just snatch it up and be like, ta-da, the end.
So although I actually do respect the thought process behind it, what you didn't account for is that I doubt if Zach Bye saw that. I doubt if he felt that with his hands. What you didn't account for is that not everybody sits as low in that chair as you sit. And so if I were to sit in that seat and I scooted in to talk into the microphone, I would hit the dang mug with my knees.
You probably
would. So he probably hit the dang mug with his knees.
Let's find out, Richie. How did he find it?
From what I saw, I don't think he hit it with his knees. But what I will...
He could have, though. It was that close.
He could have, yeah. I don't think that's what happened. My recollection of it, because I was working on the computer here, is that there is at least one or two breaks a show where Zach will get up during the break and just go full mystery machine.
Love it.
Right, that's the fun part to me. Yeah, when I found out he was actively looking for it, that encouraged me to hide it differently.
It's gotten to the point where like Stokely will help him out with it, and they're both like covering quadrants of this whole area, and I didn't see the eureka moment where he found it. He came over out of nowhere and started banging on the glass.
Oh, he must have been
inside,
so fired up.
And he just throws his hands up in the air like,
victory!
Yeah, entourage.
He got a moment. He had a moment.
He was like, I got it. And then he pulls on the shore. He calls Stokely in. They found it. And I came in there. I was like, where was it? And he explained it to me, which props on the hiding place.
I want to know if he hit it with his knees. That's my guess.
Yeah, I don't think so, because I think when I looked up, he was coming from the other side of the table.
I can't believe he got it. Ah, so disappointed.
You know what, though? I do respect the way you were playing the game. Yeah, I mean, it would be real cheap, real easy to go put it in KYGO or something.
Oh, yeah. It was always here. Yeah. But I'm telling you, the spots that I had it were ridiculous.
I like it.
There's no way. There's a place in this building that I use. You know what I use.
Yeah.
But
he'll never find that one.
He'll
if
never
you
want
to go back
it.
To that one, he'll
right.
never find that
right.
one.
Right. And so that's not much fun. So I was just, but now it's done.
But it's funny that you bring all this up, because I'm watching you drink a coffee out of a mug that is not your mug.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm awfully sleepy over here.
Well, we have
I am awfully sleepy over here.
We have a perfect solution, and that's 80 ounces of coffee a day.
Well, it's funny, because I should have had about 20 ounces that were brought in for me today.
Oh, wait. Was there
a
bet I lost?
Yes, sir, there
all
was.
Well, hold on. Because I don't, well, I'll make up. Well, hold on.
Yep. Yep.
All right, then we'll get to Dan Campbell. I don't even know I lost something.
You sure did.
Seriously.
Darn right.
All right, well, shoes, I'm a double loser. Shocker. We'll get to that coming up next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Dan Campbell, Farmers play in Detroit pretty late, Steve. December 12th, so we got some time before Detroit. But, boy, is he making an impression.
I love Dan Campbell. Man, if I was a Detroit Lion fan, I might be so dumb that I might be optimistic about my team just because of Dan Campbell.
Well, we find out this guy is, like, you know, biting kneecaps. He's doing up-downs with the team. He's... Anyways, here is about coffee.
Well, normally what I do is I'll get two venti. I go, you know, Starbucks. I get two venti of the pint with two shots in them. So black eye in both. That's what I come in with. That's how I start the day. So
two venti.
He starts the day with 40 ounces of coffee with a couple shots put into him. That cannot be healthy.
That is a massive amount of coffee.
That is a massive heart attack waiting to happen. That is insane. Like, can you believe that? Is this guy legit? I don't know.
So normally what I do is I'll get two venti. I go to, you know, Starbucks. I get two venti of the pint with two shots in them. So black eye in both.
Black eye. Is that what you call
it? That's what I come in with. That's how I start the day. So
when
you go to Starbucks, is that what you call it? When you want an extra shot, you say, hey, give me an extra black eye?
I've never heard of that.
Huh? I want a venti with the black eye in it. Is that what I'm supposed to say? That is good stuff.
I hate to go all Starbucky here, but what's the difference between that and an Americano?
An Americano is just espresso with water. So what he's getting is drip coffee with an espresso put into it.
So more.
Yes, that's right. It is
like
totally more caffeine. Caffeine plus caffeine with an extra 20 ounce on the side.
And that's how he starts. So he's not getting it for two people. He just rolls up and give me two of your...
Like, I'm just walking into the building, double fisting, a couple ventis. Nope, not for my assistant, not for the coach of the day, not for the player of the day.
Yeah.
Double fisting, just ventis. These are both for me.
Why not just go to the 7-Eleven with the big 40 ounce, you know, coffee mug thermos in the first place?
Well, I don't know if they put the black guys in them. Can you get the black guy in it at 7-Eleven? I don't know.
You, what bet did I lose? Well, speaking of all this,
well, now I
crap.
Just want to know before. Now I don't need Richie to say the bet out loud, but I need to know if he has the bet in the ledger. Do you have a bet in the ledger that he owes me?
I do.
Okay. Oh wow! I'm sorry. I had no idea.
And it was your idea. It was your idea from yesterday.
Oh,
like,
what was
come on,
I,
if you can't think
oh,
about this from yesterday,
something.
I'm a little bit concerned.
Gosh, what did we do?
You wanted it.
I know I did. Well, I forget what it was though. You're right now. Now I remember doing something, but I forget what it was about.
Will there be a fight at training camp today?
Oh, yeah. And
no,
I said
sir.
Yes.
And I said no way.
Oh, man. All right.
You got two halftimes
all right.
out there.
All right.
You got an opportunity for cooler heads to prevail.
All right.
We had a little close, like
couple close.
I saw one where there were a couple. I saw one down in the red zone that was like a little bit of a dust up. And I was sitting there with the fellas, and I'm like, oh, D-Mac's going to try to act like that was a fight. I got it confirmed from everybody in attendance. No way. No, how does that qualify as a fight?
Was that the one when Reisner just grabbed the linebacker by like? The
I think so.
When he just kind of grabbed him,
yes,
and like just held him,
kind
and
of was like saying
away.
Hello for a second.
Yeah,
and then, yes, that was the one.
Yeah,
yes. and so what I was worried about is I knew that one was not a fight, but what I was worried about is that going to be the precursor to the fight? Because that's how it usually begins.
Right,
it starts with a moment like that,
right.
And then on the next play, you got the full on brawl that comes out. Right,
right.
But we had a halftime right after that, so
we
had an opportunity for cooler heads to prevail.
Right. It was obvious Reisner was ready for it.
Yes,
had there been another goal line sort of moment, you might have got one right after that, but you're right. It was kind of, that was the moment. That was it. Right. Well, there was another one that would have been a ridiculous fight. That would have been a pretty legit fight, you know, guard against linebacker.
It had an opportunity, for sure.
And Reisner grabbed, who did he grab? What
I don't
number?
Know.
Oh,
I don't
man.
Know. I just saw like a group of people that were like in real tight, and you could tell that there were some words being exchanged.
Yeah.
And I knew that was an opportunity to turn into something.
And did you see Dalton just grab him? I mean, straight up grab
him.
Well, I saw hands.
Dalton in the midst of it, but I did not see him. He was like holding him up to his chest, not letting him go.
Yeah, two hands, like as if you're going to pin him up against a wall.
So
or
that's
something.
Exactly how fights start.
Oh, no doubt about
it. You bring one guy in, you start talking some noise. The other guy's like, hey, get your hands off of me.
Yeah.
Gives him a two hand shove, and then we got a melee. That's what usually happens.
Another one, like, it was like a tight end pushing away like a linebacker on a sideline, and that they kind of like gave each other the dirty eyeball, but nothing happened. And then there was a really quirky one. This had been the worst fight of all time for one dude, but Rogesterman Ferris.
Nailed it. Killed it.
He's the guy who just came to camp a couple of days ago. He already has two interceptions.
60, is that 63? Who's that?
43.
43.
But we have two 43s.
Okay.
We have
we got a safety, 43.
Well, Rogesterman, Ferris, corner, but we also have a fullback.
Okay.
We believe it or not, we have a legit, just straight up fullback who's 43. That's Adam Prentice. So we have two 43s out there.
Gotcha.
But anyways, Ferris, so he picks off. It was the end of the entire practice. He picks off, which would have been a weird time for a fight. He picks off Teddy, and then, it is the end of the period. It's the end of the game, but he, like, runs up the sideline. But he doesn't just run up the sideline. He runs through the offense that is on the sideline.
You know what? I respect that.
He runs through them.
That's a bold move.
And as he's coming through, Bowles just gives him a boom with, like, his right shoulder. Oh, yeah. Like, Bowles just, like, and then he had a word with them, kind of like, don't do that, don't run through us, or, something like that.
All right, Bowlesy.
So Bowles gave him the shoulder, turned around, had a word with them, eyeballed them, and Ferris had no answer, because I think Ferris turned around and took a look at Garrett Bowles.
Well, he probably realized he didn't have any friends there to help him out. It was him in the offense. That's never a good time to start a fight.
But it was definitely a moment where Bowles was good to go. Bowles was just pissed off. Bowles was really upset that their unit was the one that had the interception with Justin Simmons at the goal line. He was seething. You know, there weren't a lot of people kind of seething with him. He's kind of seething by himself.
Okay.
Like, Garrett was just ready to just,
Now, let me ask you this, because I did not see Garrett, and that could go one of two ways. I've seen Garrett Bowles of the old, where Garrett has gotten in those moments, and he's throwing helmets, and he's banging stuff, and he's mentally broken in that moment, and people are coming up and they're consoling him. They're like, hey, man, chill out, like everything's gonna be okay. Was it a moment like that, or was it a leadership moment?
I thought it was a total leadership
moment. All right. I
thought it was 100% leadership moment. It was almost like, why aren't the rest of you guys upset as me? Like,
so like the response that I wanted from Drew Locke in the presser, that was what you were getting from Garrett Bowles after that interception.
Yeah, and again, I don't think he was upset with Drew. I really do think he was just ticked off that they as a unit weren't getting it done. Like, it was pissing him off that they were struggling when they really did have a great drive, by the way. That drive from the 25 down to basically like the 9-yard line was a terrific drive. And in this simulation, a field goal wasn't good enough. They were down by 7. They had to score a touchdown. In this situation, I think he was just ticked off. And I think he was ticked off that other guys weren't ticked off as well. I really do.
All right. I like it. I was asking for somebody to step up, do something like that yesterday when there was no energy at all. And I did not see it. But from the sounds of it, that sounds like something that this team needs.
Dalton, I
respect it.
Dalton was upset too, but in more of a quiet, stand by himself, sort of contemplative sort of way.
Garrett did give up a sack that period. Okay. So it makes me wonder just a little bit what was the anger. He gave up a sack to Bradley Chubb. I don't know. I didn't see it. But what you're saying sounds like it wasn't about himself. It was like, let's get this going, fellas.
Like, of all, I don't think Garrett Bowles is a, I think he's a, I think, he, I think he's a great teammate. I think he has the other guys' backs. When that Cody Conway, by the way, who got released, I don't know if you even saw that today. He has a knee injury, got released, injured, released. Bowles was the only guy that kind of went up to him when he got on the car to give him a high five. Bowles has been supportive of Drew Locke. Bowles gets along great with everybody. On both sides of the ball. And I really do think he's a great team first sort of guy.
He's a foxhole guy.
There's tons of evidence of it. And I think it is darn frustrating. I think some of the other guys on offense look at Drew Locke. This is my impression, okay? of like, hey, man, we've seen this before. That's a broken record. We're sick of it, too. But I mean, what do you expect? I think Dalton was seething sort of privately. And I think Garrett just wears his emotions, Tyler, on his sleeve.
Yeah.
And you tell me if that's good or bad. Some guys do and some guys don't. I think Garrett's one of those dudes where you really...
It can be both. I mean, it's gotten the best of him. I've seen right, times where his teammates right, are consoling him, like, dude, relax.
Right.
Like that come was, back into the moment.
Today was kind of like that. And by the way, when Rogesterman Ferris decided to run through the herd of elephants and Bowles gives him the shiver, it wouldn't have taken much at that point if Rogesterman Harris wasn't 6'1", 180 pounds.
Because Harris was a pansy, you owe me a coffee. That's what you're saying?
I guess so. I'm just telling you, we saw a moment with Reisner. They didn't pick up on it. Bowles gave him an excuse to throw the ball at him. I mean, he could have at least thrown the ball. That would have been something. Can you imagine if Ferris at 6'1", 180, after getting a shoulder from Garrett Bowles, and he just came on this roster a couple days ago, goes against Garrett Bowles? That I tell you, man, for Ferris, that'd have been, man.
That's how you make a name for yourself.
Dude, that would have been a moment and a half if he just took that ball and hucked it at Garrett Bowles.
I got a fight with Ndamukong Suh with my 3 days with the Detroit Lions.
You must have summoned some courage, my friend. You must have taken a deep breath on that one. He did go to Nebraska. Screw him.
I know, right?
Right. All right, football at 4. We'll go through everything that we saw today. Get your feedback as well. This is The Drive on the Fan.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.